Easter, we truly rejoice in knowing that Jesus lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because we know that he holds the future, we trust him. We know that he holds our hands, and so we trust him. And so, Lord God, speak a word now for us. Speak a word afresh and anew. God, put new life into an old word and remind us that how much you love us, that you gave your life for us. Speak now because we're listening. Your children are listening, Lord God. Speak. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Come now, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Come and touch each and every one of us. Touch each and every one of us uniquely, according to the need in our lives. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And we hear a little baby that's speaking the word of the Lord. Amen. And it's good to have children and hear the voices of children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Amen.
Amen.
And certainly if we want to be enter the kingdom, he wants us to be childlike in our faith and belief. Thanks be to God for that. My sermon title today is Moving from Unbelief to Belief. And one writer says, the evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it is a very unusual event. And second, if you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live. If you believe it happened, you'll have to change the way you live. Belief. Belief is an acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. When you believe something, you have got to accept that it's true. It is trust, faith, or confidence in something or someone. Belief. And then the opposite is unbelief. And unbelief is a form of skepticism, especially in the matters of religious faith. A lack of religious belief, an absence of faith. And it's not only religious arguments that talk about belief and unbelief. We as human beings, we believe or we don't believe in many things. There are things we believe in that we ought not to believe in. And there are things we're supposed to believe in that we do not believe in either. And so today we want to look at this text from about Thomas and Jesus appearing to the disciples. Thomas is now famous with this name, Doubting Thomas. Doubting, to doubt is to, it's a little bit different from unbelief, isn't it? Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. It's not that you don't believe, you're just uncertain. You just have a lack of conviction. Something has happened and you begin to doubt. And so here it is, we have Thomas. And we want to go back, I want to go back just a little bit for those who don't know the story, a little bit about Thomas, that Thomas did not just begin as Doubting Thomas. And I thought about this yesterday, late in the evening, that my sermon title should have been Moving from Belief to Unbelief and to Belief Again. Because that's what happens to most of us. If truth be told, many of us, we waver between belief and unbelief, especially when it comes to our religious faith. We are moving, we are believing, and then something doesn't happen the way we want it, and then there's a little bit of unbelief or doubt, and then there's belief again. Thomas started out with a relatively strong faith or strong belief in Jesus Christ, and we will see that in the Gospel of John. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? Lazarus was sick and had died, and the sister Mary and Martha would call Jesus to come and look at him and save him, but Jesus did not show up on time. He showed up on time, but he didn't show up when they want him to show up. You know, Jesus does that sometimes. When we expect him to show up, he doesn't always show up, but he always shows up on time. And so here it is, the scripture tells us in John 11 that, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us go that we may die with him. Thomas at that point was ready to go with Jesus to die with him. He believed at that moment. We usually remember Thomas for his doubting, but he is also capable of devotion and courage. Thomas is like most of us. Truth be told, Thomas is like all of us, because there is no person here under the sound of my voice who does not go from belief and unbelief. I mean, even pastors who are dressed in white, we have the same issues. We are hoping that we don't. We have most of it when it comes to our religious journey is belief. Because could you imagine if as the pastor I would show up every Sunday and I would stand here and I'd be questioning my faith. I'd say, well, you know, did Jesus raise from the dead? Maybe, maybe not. What a sermon that would be. Or should we have communion? Did he really say that? No. That's not the kind of unbelief I'm talking about. We have personal challenge of faith. We all do. When things happen and we waver. We waver in that. And so here it is. Thomas is like the rest of us. And you will see Thomas as he struggles here. As he struggles with faith. You know, many of us who have unbelief, we don't tell everybody. Many of us who doubt, we don't make a statement to everyone. We doubt and we may tell it to some close confidant. We may tell it to a friend, but most of the time we keep it to ourselves. Books are not written about our doubting because nobody knows but God. Right? We have many of us, there may be folks in here today who doubt their belief in God. There may be folks in here who doubt Jesus. Or doubt the resurrection story. But the good news is you're here today. And we just don't know what God will do. God has a way of showing up in our hearts and touching us and doing things that we have never done before. All of us can come to this place. And so here it is. We read in John's Gospel that it was Sunday evening. It was Sunday evening of Resurrection Sunday, so to speak, as we call it. Easter morning had come and gone, and the disciples had spent the entire day talking about the fact that Jesus had actually been raised from the dead. Now, if you remember from last week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb, and they had looked, and the body was gone. And then Jesus showed up, and she saw him. And she went and she told the men, the disciples, that he had been raised from the dead. Now, one would think that they were all fired up and making plans for how they were going to go out and spread the gospel, the word of God, because now they knew that Jesus was alive. No, that did not happen. Not quite. The Bible tells us that as the sun went down on Sunday evening, some of the disciples had gathered together and they were still hiding in a small room somewhere with the doors and the windows closed and locked. Easter morning had come, but the disciples were still hiding, still overwhelmed. Now, friends, there are many of us who we come to church on Sunday or we are affiliated with a church, but we don't tell anybody else that we're Christians. Nobody knows that we're Christians. We are frankly, as I've said once earlier in a sermon, we are in the witness protection program. You know, when you're in the witness protection program, you're in hiding. Nobody really knows that you're a Christian. One guy said to me once, somebody said to him, well, I'm a Christian, but don't tell anybody. It's like a secret, right? So something must be happening to us. We must be doubting, because if we truly believe in Jesus Christ, then why shouldn't we? We may complain about other religions that are very bold and telling everybody who they are, but nobody's stopping us in America to say, yes, we're Christians. Yes, we believe. If we don't do it, it's because we have made a choice. Because we live right now in a free country that we could stand up boldly and say we are Christians. And we better do it, so that because one day we may wake up and we can't say it anymore.
Amen.
So, but while we can, we had better. We don't have to acquiesce our faith in Jesus Christ to any other religion, be it Islam, be it Judaism, be it Hinduism, be it any other religion in the world. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we should stand boldly and say, yes, we believe, as the other religions do of their faith.
Amen.
No one is stopping us. We don't have to sit quietly while people usurp our faith and our authority in this country to say, yes, we believe. And so these guys were still hiding. They were locked up, but they kind of had a reason to be hiding, because I believe they were thinking that they were going to come and arrest them and kill them too. You see, Easter morning had come, but the disciples were still hiding, and they were overwhelmed at what had happened. So when they got there, when they were all in the room, they were in fear. Can you imagine? Now, I would like to submit that they were just as doubtful as Thomas. That they're human beings, that all of them probably had a little bit of doubt because they were not at the cross. If you remember the resurrection story, only Mary and John and the mother of Jesus was at the cross. The other guys were not there. And so they were afraid. I mean, even with the stories being told by Mary and Peter and a few others, they were still afraid. But what would happen next? My Bible says, as they were huddled in their secure little hiding place, they were filled with doubts and questions. We are told that Jesus came and stood. Now, friends, that's what Jesus does. When we are fearful, when we are scared and worried, when we are trembling. You know, there are times when we could get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, or someone we love, something has happened. And doubt creeps in, because we're human beings. Doubt creeps in. God is the sit. We live in a world where doubt can take over our hearts, because the news can be so bad at times, can't it? Every day we could read something that is bad, something has happened, and doubt creeps in. Is this Jesus that I believe in? Is he real? Can he do what he says he will do? Can he heal? Can he save me? Doubt begins, because doubt becomes an intellectual exercise. Doubt never exists in the heart. Once the heart takes over its faith, doubt is always in the mind. It's a scientific movement. We're intellectually trying to figure something out about the situation we're in. And we have to be very careful that doubt doesn't cripple us. It happens to all of us. And so my Bible says, as they were there, and the doors were closed, can you imagine? The doors were closed, the windows were closed, and it's just like Jesus. He stepped into the room. Can you imagine what happened? He stepped in, and he showed the men. Can you imagine the paralyzing fears that they had, all gone? Of Jesus, has Jesus ever stepped into your situation? A situation that you think cannot be fixed, cannot be changed. Have you ever prayed for someone? Prayed for healing? Prayed for a kid who's on drugs? Prayed for someone, and then all of a sudden it starts working out when you don't believe it, because Jesus steps in some kind of situation. Sometimes Jesus will use a doctor, will use medicine, will use a person. He'll step into that situation and turn it around. My Bible says in that morning Jesus stepped in, and these men are so fearful and they're trembling. They're paralyzed with fear. And then what he does, what did he do? He just showed himself to them. He showed his hands and he showed them his feet and the wound in his side. But guess what happened?
Thomas was missing. Thomas was not there. Thomas, who had said to Jesus much earlier in John, "I will go with him and die," Thomas was hiding somewhere else. And I believe Thomas was so brokenhearted that he was in hiding. You know, there are times when we hide in ourselves. We're so brokenhearted because our situation doesn't change. It doesn't change the way we expect it. It doesn't change the time we expect it to change. Has anybody ever gone through anything like that, or is just me? Right? Has anybody ever gone through when you've been praying and things doesn't come out the way you want it, and you says, "God, you know, God, I know your word. I've been praying and seeking you." And then Jesus steps in. Because guess what the scripture said? He stepped in for one man. He showed up again for Thomas. Jesus will show up for one person who is seeking him. He'll show up for a whole room of us, but he'll show up for one of us who is seeking him. It is like the story of the lost sheep. When he went looking for the lost sheep, that parable, for one sheep, 99 was saved, but one was lost. I am telling you today, if there's one person here wanting to know Jesus in their hearts and they're trying to seek him in their heart, he will speak to your heart today. You and you alone. And my Bible says, oh, what a Savior. What a faithful Savior. These stories are for us, that he will show up for me when I am in doubt. Me and me alone he'll show up for. Because we are all precious in his sight. And my Bible tells me that when he showed up for this one guy, because Thomas wasn't there, he says, Thomas had said to the guys, "I don't believe, I want proof." Now, I could empathize with Thomas, because knowing my mind and how my mind works, and you know, I'm an economics major. I have a master's in economics, so I'm very analytic. I could hear me saying, "Thank God for faith. Thank God Jesus has put my mind under control." Because, you know, my mind could take over. I could hear me saying, "I want to see a proof." I'd probably be just like Thomas. One and one doesn't equal two. Supply and demand. That's what you learn in economics. It doesn't work out. Can't I not see a proof? Not that I don't believe that he's the Savior, but I want to... Thomas wanted to see a proof. Thomas says, if I don't see that wound in his hand, and if I don't see his feet and his side, I am not going to believe. And Jesus didn't get angry. Didn't get mad. He understood Thomas. He showed up. And what did Jesus say? Jesus showed up because Thomas wanted a proof. He responded to Thomas and he said, "Here it is, Thomas. Thomas, you could do what? Go ahead, touch me." That's what Jesus said. Not in the Bible, it doesn't say it that way, but go ahead, Thomas, touch me. Jesus always wants us to what? Reach out and touch him, because he's always willing to receive us back into his arms. There's nothing we can do, friends, that Jesus will not forgive us for. Reach, touch me, Thomas. And then he said to Thomas, exactly from the gospel, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Have Jesus ever done anything in your life, and then when you realize God come in and turn around a situation, or frankly, if it didn't even end the way you wanted, but he has brought you through, and you go down on your knees and says, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. If it wasn't for God, but for God, I would die in my sin. But for God, I would die in my addiction. But for God, I would die in whatever is troubling me. But for the mercies of God." Showing up. He shows up. Cleans us up and takes over. And so Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." And then he left. Blessed are we who believe. Now, you're here baptizing this baby. Certainly you're here. I know they must have good food downstairs, but I don't think you're just here for the food. Because you could get good food somewhere else, I would imagine, right? I think they're much better cooks than the ones that were cooking downstairs. Is that true? Just kidding. Right? But I'm sure we're here because we do believe in baptism. And if somebody invited you and you said yes, you know, you come to this thing that we believe in, this thing that is a mystery, that God will show up through Jesus Christ and baptize this little baby. We believe it's been old as the church, the organized church. We believe that Jesus works through all of us. And that He's going to watch over this child, and that He's going to touch this child, and He's going to forgive this child. We believe, and that's why we're here. And that's why we do what we do. And the Bible tells us that Thomas would become a changed man. And that's what would happen, the shift from what? Moving from belief to unbelief. You see, when we move from belief to unbelief, we need something called faith, not reason. Reason does not do it. Reason is an intellectual assent. It's trying to figure something out, but faith is beyond reason. Faith is higher than reason, because when you can't reason it out, then you believe. You believe that there's a God. Your faith kicks in. Your trust kicks in. You begin to shift. Some of us, it's an immediate shift, and some of us, it's a slow shift, and some of us are shifting our entire life. I'm just hoping you would shift before the Lord takes us home completely. Right? That belief in Jesus Christ. And anytime we do it, anytime we begin to shift, to move from belief to unbelief, Jesus is there, ready to forgive us, ready to love us, ready to bring us through. He's not like me, who's going to remember that you didn't believe for 6 years. Right? He's not like me, who's going to keep track. Well, you didn't show up at church, like I would say to my kid. Well, you didn't show up at church for 4 months, and now you want God to help you. He's not like that. All of you have done it. Keep your little scorecard. I keep my scorecard on people. May God forgive me. You're calling me for what? For prayer? I haven't seen you. I haven't talked to you in 5 years. And I hear the Holy Spirit says, no, you better shut up and pray for her. Or pray for him. Because when you didn't show up, I showed up for you. Amen. Do you see how faithful God is?
Praise God.
Right? How faithful he is. When you don't, we want to do that. And so Thomas, and the Bible tells us that Thomas would believe, and I like at the end of that text it says, there are so many other things, so many wonderful other things Jesus did after he raised from the dead. It's not written in the book. I wish there were. Because how much more stuff we'd have to preach about? How much more stuff we'd have to talk about? Couldn't you give us much more preaching material? Couldn't you believe, right? It's not written in the book. But what's written in there is good enough for us that we should believe. And Thomas's life was changed. Because I read in my notes that Thomas became a true disciple of Jesus Christ. He was already a follower, but he would become a great missionary to India. Thomas would bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to India. I think it's in southern India. And he was martyred for Jesus Christ. Once he moved from belief to unbelief to belief, Thomas' life was sold out for Christ, and he crossed the oceans, and he went and he began to spread the gospel, and to the very end, he died for Jesus because the shift was made. Friends, and God is faithful because Thomas is there with the Lord now. So at any time we want to shift, Jesus is ready, and he'll show up and he'll say, here's my hands and my feet. Do you know one of the great saints of the church now, Mother Teresa, had her moment of the dark place of the soul. She struggled. They found it in her diaries. She loved God. She served him to the end. But when she saw the dying and so in Calcutta, and people dying and suffering in that nation, in that town, that city, she wrote in her diaries that she had a midnight of the soul. Do you know when we see as Christian, is when you begin to doubt begin to creep up, and you have to wrestle with God. You wrestle with your feeling. God, why is this happening? Why is this not happening? Why can't this change? You begin. But God is faithful and just and loving. And God will always hear and answer us. And so John reminds us, as I close, John tells us that Jesus loves us. John, in that letter, tells us, reminds us that we have an advocate. Jesus is you know what an advocate is? There's that little song that we probably could have sang today. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ, who no matter how we have sinned and what we have done, he's willing and able to listen and welcome us back home. Anytime, any place, any day. And so we believe, because he's faithful and just. And if he has done it for me, he'll do it for you. Each and every one of us is loved by God through Jesus Christ. And whatever we need or desire, we just have to call on him. He is the risen Savior. And he's in the world today. Amen.